You are now listening to the Alpha Male Buddhist from Brooklyn podcast. I'm your host, Miguel. This is episode 225. Good episode today. It's going to be on the three metamorphoses of man, which is from Friedrich Nietzsche's masterpiece, Thus Spoke Zarathustra. If you want to delve into some real deep philosophy, good reading, definitely the prologues of Thus Spoke Zarathustra, Friedrich Nietzsche's book. The prologues, there's 10 prologues, I forget exactly how many pages, but it's quick reading, amazing, especially the first prologue, I mean, really. And then this part of Thus Spoke Zarathustra, where Nietzsche gets into the three metamorphoses of man. I like these types of concise stories because I find them to be a very interesting framework to express what I'm trying to deliver, the message that I'm trying to put out. And sometimes when you're writing it from scratch, not that it's scattered, but it's not as presented as uniformly as I would like it to be. You know, maybe there's some questions or not as easily understandable. But when you wrap it inside of a package like the three metamorphoses of men, which is very simple, about the camel, the lion slaying the dragon and becoming a baby, it's kind of clear-cut this path so you can follow it through sequentially. So I find it to be a real neat little method of expressing an idea that I'm trying to put out. Initially, I was trying to write for about an hour and a half, 2 hours, trying to write something interesting, and for whatever reason, I kept coming back to the same thing, and somehow I saw something in Friedrich Nietzsche's The Metamorphosis, and I said, you know, that's exactly the idea that I'm trying to express as far as this episode, you know, the doing upon yourself and self-reliance and that whole thing, you know. And again, the three metamorphoses is a great example. We must understand that from the first day we are born, we are wrapped up in invisible chains, which will relegate us to a life of a hamster, running on a wheel, chasing a plastic carrot on a stick held by the dragon. We must seek out the dragon's weakness, then we must slay the dragon. Today, we're going to revisit the allegory of the three metamorphoses of man, written by Friedrich Nietzsche in his classic book, Thus Spoke Zarathustra. The plastic carrot usually takes the form of material things, money, power, fame. And the dragon usually takes the form of something like your boss, your fears, greed / ignorance. Pick your poison. The point is, the dragon represents anything holding you back from realizing your true potential. Let us peel back the top few layers of this philosophical onion. As we look at mankind, we will see two distinct groups. The first group will assume the role of what you would call an NPC or non-playable character in a game. And then the second group are those people who have decided to question this world order and to seek out meaningful answers to questions regarding life and absolute truth. Let's take a look at the second group, those who seek meaning in life. In other words, those people who start on the path of living a life of purpose. Friedrich Nietzsche describes the archetype of a person who's seeking purpose in life as to be that of a camel, or being in the stage or camel stage of the path to self-actualization. So Nietzsche, writing on the camel archetype in his book, states it as follows. What is difficult, asks the spirit that would bear much and kneels down like a camel, waiting to be well loaded with what is most difficult. O heroes, ask the spirit that would bear much, that I would take it upon myself and exalt in my strength. All these most difficult things the spirit that would bear much takes upon itself, like the camel that is burdened speeds into the desert. Thus the spirit speeds into its desert. So what Nietzsche is saying here is that the archetype of the camel seeks to bear much and kneel down like a camel, waiting to be well loaded with what is most difficult. That is another way I look at that, is saying really to work smarter, not work harder. In other words, to seek things out for knowledge for knowledge's sake, right? For your ability to be able to integrate with the world around you regarding understanding it at a deeper level and not just looking at things or looking at the world superficially, right? So these are things that you have to consider, because as the camel, I mean, there's nothing really good or meaningful is going to just stray into your life and just give itself up to you and benefit you. Anything that's going to be really good for you is something you're going to have to work for, and something that you're going to have to pursue and pay a toll for to some degree, whether that's your time, your ability to get resources you need to make research on whatever subject you're looking at. But everything has a cost, and pay, you know, you have to pay a toll for everything. And what Nietzsche's saying here is that the archetype of the camel is that to go without food, water, in the direct sun at night, the cold, very limited water, and bearing a very heavy load, you know, and you do this as knowing that this is part of what needs to be done. So you do it. But it's not just that you do it with the knowledge that at some point from the camel, you will be transitioning into that archetype of the lion. And what the lion's ability to do is, the lion's ability is to fight back against the dragon. And in this whole story, in this whole allegory, the thing that's holding everything else down is what's called the dragon. And it's the dragon that says no, right? And it says no to your hope, no to your ambition, no to your dreams, and just no to you in general, for purposes of just saying no. That's what the dragon is. And this dragon could be your boss, could be a coworker, it could be someone who has control over you, somebody that just gets on your nerves and they have control over you because you allow them to have control over you, right? And it's the dragon that just says no. That's what it does. Now, what the lion is a result of the camel really working hard in growth and carrying heavy loads and burdens and sacrificing itself for its goal of becoming the lion. And when the lion confronts the dragon says no, and then the lion says no to the dragon, right? Like the lion says no, decides to say no, right? And then at that point, that lion turns into a child, and that child is able to say yes and to create. This is like crazy stuff, you know? This is thus spoke Zarathustra. I haven't read the whole book cover to cover, I'll be honest with you, but like I said in the beginning, I did read the dialogues, and I did some reading into the book itself, you know, but I didn't finish it. Nietzsche's good. It's hard for me to read like really, really big books, you know. If I could listen to them, I do that, but it's funny, but most of the really deep books that I've read in my life are like really thin books, like Siddhartha and the Dharmapada. The Bible is thick. I mean, that's a thick book. But A Single Pebble by John Hershey. You know, just a lot of books that I've read that were just very profound but very deep, that I've found. So it's important to understand that as people move through their life, they're NPCs. Many people are NPCs that are not even aware of their surroundings, what they're walking in space and time, and what's going on. They just basically follow that subconscious script that drives everything, really. And people just go through as an NPC and they have no idea what's going on. But like I said, there's a smaller group of people that question things around them, and that's again the archetype of the camel. When you're working hard to assume the archetype of the lion, to say no to the dragon and to become a child and create again. I mean, this is really interesting stuff. I recommend that you go to his book and read. It's funny. I have received one or two emails where people say, oh, you know, you state that you're Christian, but you're reading Nietzsche. To me, the two have nothing to do with one another. It has to do with Nietzsche's not worshiping anything evil or anything like that. What he's doing is he's putting his thoughts down in writing, and then you read those thoughts, and contingent upon how those thoughts hit you, then you decide whether to integrate them or reject them or don't, not even pay attention to them. Because if you only really are influenced by people that you agree with 100% of what they state and write and everything like that, then I feel sorry for you, man. I mean, your worst enemy, you could learn the biggest lesson from him. You know, somebody that you can't stand them, but they'll say something and you'll listen and say, wow, that's pretty amazing what they just said, and learn something from them. And that's really what it's all about. I mean, I don't let the one thing conflict with another. As Aristotle said, the sign of a highly intelligent person is the ability to entertain two opposing thoughts at the same time without being conflicted. And that doesn't mean that by entertaining the thought, you're, you know, completely believing in it or whatever the case might be. It's just you have it there to analyze, to look at it and to compare it and to see what it is and how it moves. And it's important to conduct oneself that way, because if you're going to be rejecting so much stuff that you could be learning from, I mean, this whole universe, this whole creation is something for learning, you know. And, you know, now that I'm talking about all of these different philosophies, I am a child of Jesus, and I was saved by the blood of the Lamb slain from the foundations of the earth, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Merciful. So I just like to put that out there. Some people say, why does it still say I'm a Buddhist? I have the Buddhist on this still. That's what the name of the podcast is. And in a way, it's good, though, because you might have somebody that's tuning in for Buddhism, and they listen, and they hear the name of Jesus. So there's nothing wrong with that at all. That's good, too. So Nietzsche's real deep, man. I mean, I read a lot of different writers that have interesting things, you know, that they really put down in writing. And this is definitely one of those. The other thing that I find interesting, I don't have it in front of me right now, but if you just, you could Google it or whatever, look up the prologues of Thus Spoke Zarathustra. And it's writing, but it's writing that you don't read it to get through it. You read it to reflecting on it as you read it. You know, it's some really good Nietzsche. So that's important, that as you move through life, you do it in the sense of following your path to becoming the lion. You know, and that lion is the one that is gonna get you to where you want to go, in the sense of, when you decide to either start your business or you decide to do whatever it is that you're planning to do, and you make that choice to do that, then that's where the child comes into play. Because at that point, let's say you decide to go to a new city. When you get there, you're like a child in that city, you know, and you have a new beginning. So that's just one way of looking at it. I mean, everything is, a lot of things in life, really, the way it goes down is it's perspective. And it's very important to have your perspective matching your goals and your aspirations of what you want to do. Because if you don't have those things already preset and have a direction that you're going in, then really you're just aimless. You know, you're just floating like a feather floating in the air, and it's going to land wherever it's going to land, man. You know, you have to have clear goals before you start anything and say to yourself, this is something I want to dedicate myself to, whether it's working on your communication skills or writing or art, or your sales skills, whatever it might be, computer skills. You know, for me, computers have always been very good to me, and something I have a lot of interest in. You know, writing code and stuff like that in Microsoft Access, and databases and such, and SQL, you know, expressions and stuff like that. It's something I really like. I haven't done it in a long time, but it's something I miss, I'll be honest. But it's very important that you have goals, and that you understand that, what it, like they say in Latin, the carpe diem, you know, seize, like they say, seize the day. Like, I think technically translated in Latin, it's pluck the day. Like you would pluck a flower or something like that. It's important to understand what a day holds as far as your growth and your ability to become better than you were the day before, you know, or stronger or faster or learn more, right? And it's really about progress as far as the skills that you have, because, you know, the days that we have definitely, you know, are numbered. So you want to make sure that you take advantage of every day that you're blessed with. Always. And so I think, let's see, let me take a look at my notes here. I have a clip here of an old podcast by the name of TSZ, or Thus Spoke Zarathustra, hosted by Alex Drake. It's old. I think it's from 2017. It's only like one or two seasons. But it's a really nice excerpt. So I've attached a clip here of Alex Drake reading Thus Spoke Zarathustra, the prologues, the first one, prologue one. He does a great job reading it. So you might want to check out that podcast of his, which is by the name of, I believe it's TSZ, Thus Spoke Zarathustra, A Reader's Guide, I think it's called. Alex Drake, so check that out. But here you go, and I want to thank you for listening, and praise Jesus Christ's name.
Zarathustra's Prologue, Part 1. When Zarathustra was 30 years old, he abandoned his home and the lake of his home and went into the mountains. Here he enjoyed his spirit and his solitude, and for 10 years did not tire of them. At last, however, there was a change in his heart. And so one morning, with the dawn of morning, he rose, stepped out before the sun, and spoke to it thus. "Greetings, great star! What would your happiness be, were it not for those whom you illumine? For 10 years you have come up here to my cave. You would have grown weary of your light and of this course without me, my eagle, and my serpent. But we were waiting for you every morning, took from you your overflow, and also blessed you for it. Behold, I am overburdened with my wisdom. Like the bee that has gathered too much honey, I need hands outstretched to receive it. I should like to bestow and distribute, until the wise among human beings once again become glad of their folly, and the poor once again of their riches. For that, I must descend into the depths, just as you do in the evening when you go down behind the sea and still bring light to the underworld, you overrich star. I must, like you, go under, as human beings call it, to whom I would go down. So bless me then, you tranquil eye, who can look without envy even upon all too great happiness. Bless the cup that wants to overflow, that the water may flow from it golden, and carry everywhere the reflection of your delight. Behold, this cup wants to become empty again, and Zarathustra wants to become human again. Thus began Zarathustra's going under."
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the audio lecture series on Thus Spoke Zarathustra. We've finally made it through my introductions, and now we're into the introduction created by Nietzsche himself with Zarathustra's prologue. You just heard section 1 of 10. So before we get into my analysis or things I want to point out about this particular section, a couple of notes on the prologue overall. As I mentioned, it's 10 sections. And in terms of the amount of plot development that you're going to see in this book, as opposed to Nietzsche's writings on various topics, the 10 sections of the prologue, even though they constitute, 10, 15 pages, those 10, 15 pages contain probably more plot action inside of them than any other range of 10 to 15 pages in this book. So it is quite a bit different, and therefore my conversation about the 10, 15 pages is going to be a bit different. Since it is more narrative than the other sections, there's a lot more imagery that we're going to come across. And since the imagery is trying to portray certain things about Zarathustra, certain things about another old character that we're going to meet in the next section, and certain things about people that Zarathustra meets in a market square, that imagery all depends on a lot of Nietzsche's later ideas that he's going to discuss and how we should be interpreting it. I know the first couple of times I read through this prologue, not a lot stuck out. I sort of spent most of my time focusing on the things that Zarathustra was saying that are more philosophically based, rather than any of the allegory or metaphor or anything like that.
Welcome to the Alpha Male Buddhist from Brooklyn podcast. I'm your host, Miguel. I like to cover topics from ancient history, great leaders and generals from the past, and I also like to talk about self-realization, truth, critical thinking, and strategic spirituality. Outside the box, nonconformist. I'm here to shatter the myths of the mainstream media and the beta sheeple narrative. I do want to thank you guys for listening. Praise Yeshua HaMashiach's name. Praise Jesus Christ's name. My Linktree is Alpha Male Buddhist Pod. Links are in the show note descriptions of this episode below. There in my Linktree, you will find links to my Instagram, Telegram, Rumble, Odyssey, Twitter, and my free episode archives. If you're a new listener, I have also included links to my top rated episodes. These are specific episodes of the podcast that are the most popular and listeners have given me the most positive feedback on. Some of these episodes are also in video format, so you can not only listen to the episode, but you can watch the accompanying video to that episode. Also, contact me for my free Academy of Liberation handbook, which is in PDF format, along with a free audiobook version of the handbook. So check out the show notes below of this episode for all of my content links.